So estimates suggest that New Zealand exports 95% of our dairy products, 87% of our beef, 95% of our sheep meat, and 90% of our kiwi fruit. So Professor Emeritus Elaine Rush, Scientific Director of the New Zealand Nutrition Foundation, joins us this morning to explain why there is food poverty in New Zealand if we can export that much food. Morena, Professor Rush.
Morena. Yes, it's a terrible situation where we're not able to feed our own people well.
Yes, despite the data shows that New Zealand can feed 40 million people, but our families here, well, many of our families here are struggling to put fresh fruit on our tables. What's happening?
Well, that figure is misleading because, in fact, we probably only produce enough to feed about 3 million people in New Zealand, according to our food-based dietary guidelines, which have evidence behind them of the combinations of food that we need. So in reality, we actually export a lot of protein and fat in the form of butter, and the fruits that we export are kiwi fruit and apples, and the vegetable we export a lot of is onions. But that doesn't make up a balanced diet. It's really important to have those combinations of different wholesome foods every day, in particular for a child, because every day they're growing.
So why aren't our children getting the fresh food and vegetables and even meat that we need?
Well, it seems to be the economic model that we have, the culture that we will export our best, and with the money that comes in, that will benefit New Zealand. But it doesn't benefit everyone. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is growing in New Zealand, and unfortunately, children seem to be at the bottom of the pile, as it were. We're not looking after them well. Farmers look after their breeding stock better than we look after our young parents, who have so much responsibility bringing new children into the world but aren't necessarily supported. Then it's really hard to get to the place where the food is. Do you know, 5% of New Zealand people live in a place where there is no fridge. So we need to look at things other than fresh, freshly prepared perhaps, but not necessarily always straight off the tree or out of the earth. We need to be able to store food too.
And you were saying that research shows that we're one of the most malnourished countries in the OECD. How did that happen?
Well, malnutrition can occur at anybody's size. So BMI, body mass index, is a bit of a crock, but it does, for a population, define those who are carrying more weight for their height than they should. So already we're number three on the OECD statistics for that malnourishment. But we also have what you call hidden hunger. That's when you're missing out on vital vitamins and minerals. We have a very high percentage, particularly of women, with low iron levels, so they're not getting enough iron in their diet. We have soils that are poor in iodine, so we put that into white bread and folate too. So we're short on that. Well, folate comes from foliage, green leafy vegetables, puha and sorbet, those things which you'd think we would be able to have growing all around, but we don't, and we don't have access to that. And the argument that people wouldn't eat it anyway is spurious. If you're surrounded by refined food and fast food takeaways, it's very difficult to actually make a conscious decision to buy vegetables and fruit, especially if they're going up so much in price for everyone at the moment. We're really probably down the bottom of the shopping list now.
Yes, and it's the knock-on effect, of course, is diabetes, heart conditions, and all the diseases that are actually cost our country a lot of money to try and cure, when really it should be the other way around. We should be looking at the beginning. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And right from conception, that's the time. 1 in 10 of our pregnant mothers has just diabetes. Now, that means she is more likely and her child is more likely to have diabetes later in life. It's programmed, as it were, at that time. So you can't start too early. We should have started 3 generations ago.
So what needs to be changed? How are we going to make these changes?
Well, it's not an easy one. We're going to have a change in culture, and it's going to be the whole of society. We all have a responsibility to look after our children. People have rights, but they also have responsibilities. But particularly, I think we need to look at our elected representatives, whether they're national or local, and also our public service, reorientate to make sure that all policies include respect of food and getting food to New Zealand people first. We could also take zero-rate vegetables and fruit for GST. We spend so much on prescribing medications. What about being able to prescribe vegetables and fruit as part of a real green prescription, as it were? And maybe, you know, older people won't be able to get quite so much health care because we need to make hard choices. Who are we going to look after? And to be equitable, we have to spend more on some and less on others.
Well, that's an amazing kōrero with you, Professor Elaine Rush. I was particularly hit by the fact that you were saying that we spend more energy and resources nurturing, making sure we've got healthy livestock than we do making sure we've got healthy children.
Yes. I mean, and it's not even the farmers' overall responsibility. As I say, it's the whole of society. We are a community. We're meant to be a family of 5 million, but not everyone's sitting at the same place at the table.
Thank you very much. And that was Professor Emeritus Elaine Rush, Scientific Director of the New Zealand Nutrition Foundation, who joined us with some very thought-provoking kōrero this morning. Thank you very much, Professor Rush.